Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us on this beautiful October 1st day, 2017. Very grateful. We're going to talk about the cult. If Aspire and Greg Penn are the cult, I just get such a kick out of this. Anyway, I want to remind you, the cult leader here wants to remind you that your donations, your tax-deductible gifts make it possible for this cult leader to not only do radio and television, but go to a hospice and offer my help, my cultism to the people who are leaving their bodies. Ooh. So anyway, I want to thank my sponsors for making this radio program possible, the TV programs, and I hope that you will join us and become a sponsor, seriously speaking, just for a moment, to serve humankind. Our mystery donor is matching donations now. So if you become a sponsor, he will match your sponsorship. He's being very kind and generous this year. And not only that, but if you make a donation, a year-end donation, he will match that as well. So I hope that you will help us. It takes a great deal of energy, time, and money to make these TV programs happen. It really does. And it's only through your tax-deductible gifts that this happens. I'm able to give to you so many gifts for being a sponsor. You really get a lot. You not only get the message of the month and the podcast and the video cast, but you also get around 228 or something discourses that I've done for TV. And all of these are there for you as my gift. They're free for you. They offer to you insight into various subjects, the Eightfold Path, the Tao, the heart of the Tao, the teachings of Socrates, of Cahil Gibran. All sorts of things are in there to serve you, to help you. So I hope that you will avail yourself of this and you will be helping humankind because your donation allows so many things to happen through Aspire, such as my hospice work, etc., etc. So please be generous, be kind. Let's get into this cult thing. I get this all the time just because I sound different, just because I talk a little differently about their various subjects. Instead of people being intelligent enough in general to listen and to, well, maybe be open to a different point of view in a world that is very one-sided, I am called many names. When I was teaching formally, I had to wear, believe it or not, a bulletproof vest because I was always getting threatening calls and threatening letters. I'd turn it over to the police, the FBI, It just went on and on and on. So anyway, I want to clear the air here. I probably won't be able to, but I still want to try to clear the air here. So let's go to the first question. This guy is named Jim. He is from Colorado. He's just very blunt, and I like this. Are you a cult leader? Are you a cult organization, Jim? So I love your bluntness, Jim. I do. I respect it. So let's look at the definition of the word cult. A system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. So devotion and veneration towards a particular figure or object. Cult. Well, Catholic Church is a cult. They got Jesus Christ. All Christian churches are cults because they have a system of religious devotion, veneration directed towards a particular figure or object. That would be Jesus. That would be Jesus. Hey? You could say politics is the same thing. You have a devotion, a veneration towards the system, the president, whatever. A relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange and sinister. Well, are you the other, Jim? There are many people like you. Is meditation the occult? Is it? Is cult practice the idea of meditating, of harnessing energy from within, of disciplining the mind? Misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing. Well, that could be, the obsession people have with religion, with politics. Definitely there. I mean, they write more about the political behavior of different politicians than they do about the people in this world who are trying to do a fair amount of good. Huh? A person or thing that is popular or fashionable among a particular section of society. Well, what would that be? Nazism? Fashion, you could say fashion was a cult. So there's lots of different words. It's all boiling down to fixation, mania, and obsession. So, Jim, I'm not a cult. What I teach is not cultism. I'm not trying to lure people in and do a Charlie Manson on them. Not at all. I'm trying to liberate people. I'm trying to help people understand the way that there is a loving way to deal with the whole totality of life, the whole totality of living, that there is something immensely beautiful and special about inner awakening. This isn't about fixating myself or fixating my students on some obsession. It's to free them from their obsessions. And you can make anything a matter of cult. You can make politics, which is huge, money, doesn't matter what it is. People, what is a religious devotion? What is that? Huh? Tell me. What religion? It has to do with what you believe in, what you think of as essential. What is a religious thing, you know, that we get involved in? Well, it's relating to or believing in some kind of religion where worship is a part of the whole scheme of life. And it has to do with the worship of a divine being, a belonging to or relating to a monastic order or other groups of people who are united by the practice of their religion. All religions are cults. And I use Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu as an example of how to liberate yourself. Now, if you want to call that occultism, you call it what you want. I don't care. I really don't care. But you're not using the word cult in a way in which liberates or maybe vindicates your living. You're using the word as though it's a put down. Maybe that's what we need. But I still wouldn't be a cult because I don't have a lot of admiration for the whole idea of controlling people. I don't think people need to be controlled. They need to be self-controlled. They can't be controlled by government or religion, although I am wrong about that in a certain kind of way, because there's a lot of people who are controlled by their religion and by their politics, and they're very unhappy people, and they delve into the whole thing of what is popular and fashionable and wanting people to like them, and this is more important than anything else. So they will often do many an ugly thing in the name of being in a cult or a group that venerates them, gives them a sense of purpose and direction. I guess, you know, any political thing can do that. People who think that they're in the American way, the people who thought they were in the German way or the Japanese way or whatever, it just gets ridiculous to me. If you are controlled by any obsession and you have as the point of that obsession a person, an ideal, a thing, then you have entered in, according to the dictionary, to a cult. And that's what religion is all about, to get people into the cult. I'm just offering a way out. Jim, listen to me. I have no aspirations higher than, in this world, I should say, than that of just helping people. That's it. They probably wouldn't be people like you, but nevertheless, everybody has a different need in their life. Some people have a deep spiritual need and they feel the pull. Other people, well, they have obsession, compulsion, low self-esteem, and that allows them to get involved in a lot of different groups that make it very, very difficult to awaken spiritually. So that's just the way it is. I hope that helps you, Jim. I'm sure it didn't. Please forgive me. Namaste. Once a person is fixated on any idea, you can't help them, because then they have to admit they're wrong, and people don't like to be wrong. Next one comes from Sam. He does not tell me where he lives. What you teach seems so different and strange to me. Are you trying to get people into the cult of your organization, Sam? No, Sam, I'm not. Really, I'm not. I'm like I said to dear Jim here, I am not trying to build a movement. If I had 10 students, I'd be happy. You know, it isn't about getting people to do what I want them to do. It is about living in the way of the heart, the way of love inside. And to me, that's more important than anything in life, is to find the way of the heart, the way of love within you, and follow that path on your own. I'm here to put you onto the path, to help you find your path inside. And then when you need help, to be there when you fall off the path or you have a difficulty or something is wrong for you, whatever. I'm just there to help. I know this path really well. And the best I can do is when you go a little to the left or a little to the right, or you get off track in some way, I say, when you've gone too far to the left, go right. When you've gone too far to the right, I say, go left. It's about that straight and narrow that Jesus talked about. And it's interesting to me that a lot of people can't hear his teachings. Some of his teachings are so outlandish. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm the cult, Sam? Let me give you just a couple of things. Unless you hate your mother, your father, your life, you cannot be my disciple, he said. I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, but that's what he said. He said, in one breath, I came to bring peace on earth. And then in another breath, he said, you think I've come to bring peace on earth, but no, rather a sword, a division. You're finding a man who is, if you took him literally, nuts, absolutely nuts. You think my teachings are strange? He's out of whack. He's telling you, basically, you have to give up your family. You have to understand his cause, which is to bring division into the world. There'll be them and us. He talks a great deal about the idea of not being offended, and yet he teaches a lot of things that are highly offensive. I mean, you wouldn't put up with it. If you heard him, really heard him, and you listened to what he had to say about anything at any given time, you would be terribly offended. He talks about the nature of human beings and how to rise above that. But to do that, he illustrates that teaching in various ways that bring about a person to come to a place where they have to pause to think. Think beyond the box. He is an original. He is not here to formulate religion, philosophy. He didn't come here to make a world religion, because to make a religion out of the teachings that he offered would be detrimental to the teachings he offered. No. He is offering to you, through what he teaches, insight. He's offering to you liberation. He's offering to you kindness, compassion. He's offering to you a great love. And this gentle love that he talks about has its place in our hearts. But to get there, we have to go through the rigors, we put ourselves through it, of human stuff, human pain, human suffering, human belief. And hence, we don't do very well. We don't make our life very beautiful. So is he a cultist? Is he teaching cultism? Well, you have to decide for yourself. But if you really listen to him, you can understand why people misconstrued him, misunderstood him, and eventually killed him for what he believed in or what he was teaching. I mean, this guy was really outlandish. And the whole world seems to feel sorry for him because he got crucified, and that's about as far as they go. I don't think Jesus would be a player in the meaning of this world if he had not been crucified, if he were really set free and he got to go and not be crucified. We love the drama of the crucifixion. We just love the drama. So with that drama, we make it impossible for us to really understand his message. And then the way the priests and the popes and the ministers and all that other stuff have played you is to make you feel that you caused his death. And that just works really well. So that's how you got stuck in it. And you don't explore beyond Jesus. You don't listen to Buddha, Lao Tzu, Mahavir, Krishna. There were many, many more who were teaching love in such a beautiful way. And they weren't detesting him, Jesus, at all. Let me give you some of the things, and then you decide whether or not Jesus was a cultist. He said, who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it. That's pretty crazy. How about this one? He's saying here, children, how hard it is for them to enter the kingdom of heaven who trust in riches. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Oof. So now you can't be rich. So you got to hate your life and be poor. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Well, now you've got to be abased. You've got to be really, really humble. You've got to, probably hate yourself. So all of you low self-esteemers out there, you're making it. How about, if any man come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So you're going to have to be willing to die as Jesus died. And follow me, he says. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever will lose his life shall save it. What's he talking about here? What's a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself or is cast away? Now you can't own anything. And you got to be willing to die, just like Jesus did. Just like that. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. baby. There goes Mother's Day and Father's Day. And he that finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. So you have to give your life over to Jesus and hate your mother and father and be willing to die on the cross. Is that sounded like the American way to you? Take heed of what you hear, what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again, and even more shall be given. For he who hath, to him shall be given. And he who hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. What the hell does that mean? First he's telling us to be poor, now he's telling us that we can be rich, and then he's taking that away. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What? Who among the American public wants to be last? Huh?
I want to be the worst football team. I want to be the worst baseball team. I want to be the worst person.
And then at the end, I love what he says here. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Well, there you are, my friend. There you are. You decide. If you really listen to Jesus and you take it literally, you're going to be nutso. And that's why cultists are nutso. Christian religion is nutso. Sam, thank you for your little email. Appreciate it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Think about religions, what they've done. Remember Waco, the wacko of Waco? Do you remember Jim Jones? Do you remember the guys that flew the airplanes into the towers? These were all based on religion. And we've had many, many. Many religions that have urged such craziness from leaders who are nuttier than fruitcakes. And people follow them because people love drama, 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 drama. They like thinking they're right. Think of the things you have done in the name of right. Last question real quick. I listen to your teachings. They are so different. You are blunt. You are to the point, and it often shakes me. Are you a cultist? We've already covered all that, but no, I'm not. I'm not into any of that, but blunt helps. If you're going to hate me, I want you to hate me for the right reasons. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about what I'm about. I am not about political overthrow. I'm not about who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad. I'm just giving you the facts here. And you can decide whatever you need to decide. It's okay. If you want to be whatever you want to be, whether it be Christian or Muslim or whatever, I find truth in everything. And that's the only thing that matters, is finding some matter of truth in everything that we do. And if you can do that, and if you can forge ahead in that and educate yourself in what it means to listen to the Aramaic language, to understand Buddhism and Buddha himself, if you can persevere in understanding the nature of what Lhasa is teaching, which is truly high-level stuff, then you've done yourself a great service. And many beautiful things are yours. My object is not to be an ism, but to celebrate, to invigorate, and to incorporate all of these teachings that these great masters have offered to the world and make it possible for thee and me to have an inner awakening. That's all that matters to me. The rest, I don't care about. I'm not into organizations. The whole premise of inner work is to awaken. That's what we're here for, not to get what we want or find the magic elixir that's going to make us happy. The state of your being is the state of your life and the meaning of your existence. And I hope to heaven that I was able to help you a little bit with that in this program. I really am. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. and take a look around. You will see radio programs, TV programs, all sorts of things there to help you, come to a place where maybe you will begin your inner journey to love. And that's all it's about. I'm out of here. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive everything in your life. Namaste.